You're listening to Garden Planet with Selena and
Karen. Hello, everybody.
Hey, last week we were talking about the secret language of flowers, and we were getting up to what letter of the alphabet?
L. You were up to L.
Yes. So every flower has its meaning and symbol. And we would like to share with you what those are, since we're in the midst of spring. And it's a wonderful celebration of our flowers.
Indeed it is. So let's continue on. And the goal is to get to Z. Did I actually have one for Z?
I'm sure there is one.
No, I got to Y. I don't think I like the Z one, so I just left that out. Anyway, okay, right. So L, what have you got for us?
Okay. L for lily.
Oh, yeah.
Now,
I might double up on this.
Okay.
But that's fine. What have you got?
So lily means chastity or purity.
Mm-hmm.
It's a wonderful association with the Virgin Mary. Apparently the lily was there to announce the birth of Jesus. Most lily, if it's symbolizing purity, it would be white. But you can get lilies in all different colours.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the lily.
That's great. Because what is the botanic name for lily?
Lilium.
Oh, okay. Because it might, for N, I was going to discuss nymphaea.
Oh, okay.
Do you know what that is? Water lily.
Maybe I don't know. That could be under W.
I don't know. I just put it under N. Out of convenience, but I don't know if is a water lily technically a lily.
Oh, I'm gonna have to ask the botanists.
The nymphaea, I think, is a completely. I think it's a different. They just maybe call it water lily.
Okay, yeah. There are a lot of plants that are lilies. That are technically, botanically, lilies. So
yeah,
like the cabbage tree is. Apparently a lily.
Oh, okay. Yeah, so I think that's what's okay. Happened there.
So we're still on L because there's a few flowers starting with L.
Mm-hmm.
Lotus.
Yes.
So lotus means enlightenment.
Good choice.
Or truth.
Yeah.
And also associated with Buddhism. Mm. Because the flowers grow out of the mud. They're on the water.
Okay.
Like the water lily.
Oh, okay.
I suppose it is a type of water
lily.
Like
wet feet. Yeah.
So they grow out of the yucky, stinky mud and become a beautiful bloom on top of the surface.
And then, of course, you've got the lotus pose.
Oh,
in yoga.
Yes.
Where you cross your legs and I think you do something with your hands as well.
Yeah.
I can't remember. I haven't done it for a while.
To connect with the divine. So, lotus. Lavender. I have just got calm for lavender. If you want to soothe or calm someone, you give them lavender.
Mm.
Yeah.
Lavender's such a good one.
Mm. M for magnolia,
mm-hmm.
One of my favourites.
Yes.
It's the aristocrat of flowers, very regal.
Yes.
Its meaning is love of nature. So, yeah, I love nature.
That's
so
nice.
And in the southern...
I wonder why they... No, it doesn't have to directly associate with what the plant does, but it just was interesting.
Yeah.
Maybe it's good to have a magnolia tree in amongst your plot.
Yes.
You know?
The southern states of America have adopted the magnolia as one of their symbols, as you might have heard the phrase moonlight and magnolias or steel magnolias.
It is used a lot.
Yeah. It's one of their most loved flowers.
Okay.
And still on M, morning glory.
Mm-hmm.
Now this one may be a bit of a weed in Auckland,
mm-hmm.
but it symbolises affection.
The purple flower.
The creeping one. Or love in vain. So maybe you like someone, but they don't necessarily love you that much back. But it's a kind of a clinging vine, so you make of that what you will. Oh, I want you so much, I'm just going to smother you with flowers.
Yeah. It's fine. You can give me the flowers, but be gone.
Yeah. Okay, that's mine. So that's my M. So now we're up to your
ones. Well, we're up to what I was just discussing, which was the nymphaea, the water lily. Okay, water lilies are aquatic rhizomatous. I googled how to say that. I don't think I said it right. Rhizotomus. That's right. How they said it. But right. I was like, how do you say that in Kiwi? Anyway, perennial herb. Some having runners. The leaves can go up to 30 centimetres across. I actually downloaded a photo of a bright field micrograph cross-section of a nymphaea alba. I'll show you, Selena. Look at that. Very scientific.
Oh.
The big space, it's like a cellular picture, but it's incredible. The big spaces in the middle are just what they call an intercellular gap. So that's why they're so spongy and float, because the cellular structure of the plant actually allows it. It's like a huge sponge. It's quite an interesting cross-section of the... Anyway, that's a bit of an aside.
Frogs meant to sit on them.
That's how they manage it.
Oh. So what does
that mean? How they can actually stay afloat with stuff on top of them, like frogs and flowers sometimes.
So what's the meaning of the flower
then? The nymphaea symbolise, much like you were saying about the lily, purity, innocence, fertility, pleasure, celebration, hope, rebirth, wellness, peace.
Wow.
A lot of
stuff. That's a lot of meaning.
A lot of meanings with that one. According to Wikipedia, all ancient cultures around the world have associated the white lilies with gods and spirituality.
Mm.
Little aside, nymph, okay?
Yes.
You know how it's called? The meaning nymph in ancient Greek folklore is a minor female nature deity.
Okay, yeah.
And so I wonder if maybe that had...
also like the child stage of an insect.
Yep, yes. Yeah. And yes, it is. Different from Greek goddesses, nymphs are generally regarded as personifications of nature, are typically tied to a specific place or landform, and are usually depicted as beautiful maidens.
Ooh.
Which I thought was quite cute. Oh, obviously. Come on.
Okay.
Yeah. Man, I found some really cool pictures of orchids. Look at the owl orchid. It actually looks like an owl.
It looks like an owl.
And the monkey ones look like. Oh. They're amazing. So many.
What would the meaning be for orchid?
Well.
It has many meanings.
Okay, so fun fact alert.
Okay.
The word orchid originates from the Greek word orchis, meaning testicle. I'm sure I've come up with this before. The bulb of orchids looks like testicles.
Really?
And for this reason, they are known to be aphrodisiacs. Back in the day, they used to...
So would you give the bulb instead of the flower to somebody?
I think they used to, like, grind them up. So maybe if a woman wanted to fall pregnant or if she wanted, like... Something like if she wanted a boy, she had to eat maybe...
I didn't know they were edible.
The bulb or some part of the plant. If she wanted a girl, another, maybe the flower or something. Orchids have a mystique that seems to set them apart from most other flowers. They are elegant and almost unreal in their perfection. Even though orchids are one of the largest flowering plant families, every orchid species has a unique look. Did I write anything about what they represent? No, I did not. I got carried away with... Can you tell me?
I only did the A to M, so
all right.
I'm sorry.
Well, yeah.
That I would say...
But I'd say it's something to do with...
fertility?
Fertility, yeah.
Yeah.
And I did...
Beauty.
I do remember reading it, but I for some reason I didn't write it down. Yeah, so that kind of, aphrodisiac type, like...
Yes.
Very sort of... There's a lot of sexual connotation with the orchid. Yeah. If you look at one, they do look...
So, if you gave it to someone, it might mean a hint of, let's get it on.
Yeah. Yeah.
Seduction, maybe?
Yeah, I believe so.
Okay.
But it's funny because whenever Oh, man, I've never thought. Have you been given an orchid before?
No. I mean, not that I...
I just, I don't really see it. I just see it beautiful. But now that they say things like, oh, it looks like Tess, I'm like, oh, I'll never look at it quite the same way. Like, anyway. Right, so moving on to something a little more tasteful. Pea.
Pea.
Passion flower.
Oh, passion flower.
Now, Passiflora, that's its botanic name, mostly tendril-bearing vines with some being shrubs or trees. They can be either woody or herbaceous. So the passion in passion flower refers to the passion of...
Jesus Christ.
Jesus in Christian theology. Mm. In the 15th and 16th centuries... Spanish Christian missionaries adopted the unique physical structure of this plant, particularly the number of its various flower parts, as symbols of the last days of Jesus. The tendrils represent the whips used in the flagellation of Christ. The 10 petals and sepals represent the 10 faithful apostles, excluding St. Peter and Judas, the betrayer. The flowers' radial filaments, which can number more than 100, can vary from flower to flower, represent the crown of thorns. The blue and white colours of many species flowers represent heaven and purity. And the flower, this was really interesting for me, keeps open 3 days, symbolising the 3 years of ministry, I think, that, well, I was going to say, it was three days before he rose again, but that they say symbolising the 3 years ministry, I think, that Jesus.
That's so interesting.
He was only in ministry for that 3 years.
Yeah, well, that's, well, I'm not sure.
That's what Wikipedia said. Wouldn't surprise me, though. I mean.
That's kind of interesting that not many churches have the passion flower as a symbol.
No, like, which is going to come out. I've talked about what I'm going to talk about in R already, the rose, but that's more of a symbol used in churches.
Okay, yeah.
The flower has been given names related to this symbolism throughout Europe since that time. In Spain, it's known as Espina de Cristo, Thorn of Christ.
Mm-hmm.
And older Germanic names include Christus Strauss, Christ Bonnet, Bouquet, and Don Crone, Crown of Thorns, those are all Germanic. And Jesu Legion, Jesus' Passion. So they actually went all out and said, yep, this is Jesus' flower. Wow. We're going to name it after
the Passion after of that. The Christ.
Mm.
I don't see that in a lot of, like, floral bouquets that you see in the shop.
Well, maybe it only lasts 3 days.
It's
so
not a long-lasting flower. But it's beautiful, yeah. But then I guess people keep it because they want to have the fruit after.
I'm never going to look at passion fruit the same way now after discovering that. Mm. That was really interesting. But I have always appreciated that flower. I've always looked at it
unique.
Wow, that's really interesting.
It's kind of like got a little fringe around it and a little like sticky outy things. It's not your typical flower.
Yeah, I mean, it's just...
Yeah, and it's purple and it's yellow.
It's a really interesting flower.
Quite amazing.
So moving on to Q, Queen Anne's lace.
Oh, can I just interrupt? Can I add in a pea flower?
Yes, you can.
Pahutakawa.
That's right, you were going to. Tell me more.
As Aucklanders know, it is now a symbol of Auckland City on the council logo. So you see that red flower. And apparently the designer of that logo made eight former cities that were made up the Auckland borough into one big super city.
Mm.
So 8 stamens representing each little.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah.
So that was before it became the.
Yeah.
So they did that on purpose.
They did that on purpose.
Oh,
because
wow.
Because Pahutukawa flowers, of course, have more than that. But for the Māori, the entire Pahutukawa tree was symbolising that, like, the place of departure where the spirits went when they died.
Yes.
Up at Cape Preanger, they have the Pohutukawa tree.
That's right.
That's where they believe they go.
Yeah.
And, of course, for the rest of us, it's associated with Christmas.
Yes.
Because it blooms around Christmas and
so,
it's lovely
red
colour.
Definitely worth mentioning. Thanks for jumping in there.
Okay.
So, yeah, back to Queen Anne's lace, also known as the wild carrot. Do you know which one I'm talking about? It's the one you see growing all along the roadside, wild carrot. I'll show you a picture and then that's the picture there, that one.
Oh, yes, pretty.
It's just a, what does that flower look like?
A frothy.
Frothy looking.
White.
Yeah, lacy looking flower you see on the, and just a cream colour.
Yeah.
Or not, almost a very pale brown.
Mm-hmm.
It's nothing, but I love it.
Mm.
It brings back childhood memories for me.
Great.
We used to wait for the bus and I'd go and pick, you know.
Queen
didn't realise it was called.
Lace.
It was introduced and naturalised in North America, and in the language of flowers, Queen Anne's lace represents sanctuary. Both the Anne and the Queen of Great Britain and her great-grandmother, Anne of Denmark, interesting, just fun fact, my middle name's Anne, and I've got like quite a lot of Danish and quite a lot of English in me.
Okay.
I didn't realise Anne was, anyway. So, yeah, so they that's the queens that it was apparently named after.
Yeah.
And because the flower resembles lace, which was a very prominent and fine clothing of that day.
Oh.
Moving on, rose from the Rosaceae family.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Rose. Everyone knows what a rose looks like. A woody perennial flower of the genus Rosa. Over 300 species and tens of thousands of cultivars.
Of course.
The long cultural history of the rose has led it to being used often as a symbol. In ancient Greece, the rose was closely associated with the goddess Aphrodite. In the epic Greek poem Iliad, I hope I said that right, Aphrodite protects the body of Hector using the immortal oil of the rose. Following the Christianisation of the Roman Empire, the rose became identified with the Virgin Mary. The rose symbol eventually led to the creation of the rosary and other devotional prayers in Christianity. And I got a picture of a scene in the Temple Garden. It was painted by Henry Payne in 1908, and they used the roses. Supporters of rival factions in the War of the Roses pick either a red or a white rose, depending on
which side
they. Yeah,
the
which
war.
I thought was quite nice.
Roses.
Well, it's quite a nice touch to politics,
I
isn't
was,
it?
Like, picturing people with roses fighting each other with thorns.
You could, though. You could do a lot of damage with a rose thorn. Everyone's done it at least once, I reckon. So moving on to tea, I chose Tajitis. Is that how you say it? Marigold?
Yes, I just say marigold. I can't say
the most commonly cultivated varieties of Tajitis, I'm just going to say that, are African marigolds and French marigolds.
Okay, what would the meaning be for them?
And, well, they're nothing like, they don't really, they have a musky sort of pungent scent, so they're nothing, almost scentless. The marigold was regarded as the flower of the dead in pre-Hispanic Mexico.
Oh, yes, you see a lot of them when they celebrate the Day of the Dead.
Parallel to the lily in Europe, and a still, I don't know, maybe the canola lily? I don't know. Is still widely used in the Day of the Dead celebrations. In India, Tajitis is always sold in the markets for the use of daily worships and rituals. Vast quantities of marigolds are used in garlands and decoration for weddings, festivals and religious events. So a strong spiritual connection there, which is really interesting because, I mean, I just like plant Tajitis in the garden because it deters common insect pests.
It's a good insect repellent companion plant. But then it's got all these spiritual meanings. It's also a lovely bright orangey, yellowy colour.
Yeah, I reckon.
A very cheerful plant. But not so nice smelling.
Nah. So maybe that's death, you know, like it's the smell.
Here's a lovely marigold. Yeah. I think your insects need repelling.
I don't know. Maybe that would be a good one to put on a casket. I don't know. Do you really need nice smelling flowers on a casket? Not really.
Well,
do you?
Back in the day when they were actually burying the dead by, like, they had to.
Had to have something nice. So if the body was...
Yeah. So I would say it
maybe
had
a mixture.
Practical application as well.
Mm. Virginia creeper. I mentioned this in the segment we did on no lawn gardening as something you could grow over a pergola.
Oh, yes.
And it's a species in the grape family, flowering plant. A prolific deciduous climber, reaching up to 30 metres, very decorative climber. It climbs smooth surfaces using forked tendrils tipped with small, strongly adhesive pads, 5 millimetres in size. Its leaves grow in groups of 5 and is sometimes confused with poison ivy, whose leaves grow in groups of 3. I don't know why. It's quite a red-looking vine. Look at it.
Oh. So you chose this one because it's not for the flower?
Just because I like it. But... And I wanted to know more about it because I touched on it on that segment.
Oh, right.
But, interestingly, symbolically, same as ivy, marriage, friendship, fidelity.
Oh, I
see.
So
I don't know if that's just come about because, oh, it's a climber, you know, that'll do. I don't know.
Interesting.
So, yeah, that's that one. Then we're going to move on to W. Where was I up to? I don't think I did one for you. I didn't see any I liked in that. Wallflower. A wallflower is someone with an introverted personality type or, in more extreme cases, social anxiety.
Oh. Okay.
The actual wallflower flower...
Yes.
...is a genus of the flowering plants in the Brassiaceae family.
Oh, like
cabbages.
Isn't
that interesting?
Funny.
Who would have thought? No wonder it's called wallflower. I gave my friend some broccoli flowers the other on Saturday.
Okay.
Went and visited her. And they're just so cute, but you wouldn't even really, you'd walk right past them normally. So it is like, no wonder they call it that.
So would you give a wallflower to someone who's quite shy?
Well, according to the almanac.com, the wallflower symbolises faithfulness and adversity, fidelity and lasting beauty. So maybe it's just one of those things that's always there on the side.
In the background and you're not really but it's faithful.
Yeah, it's always there. And I didn't get up to Z, I got to Y. Yarrow is native to temperate regions of the Northern Hemisphere, Asia and Europe and North America. It was introduced as a feed for livestock in New Zealand and Australia, where it has become a common weed of both wet and dry areas. But like the wild carrot, similar sort of little flower.
Yeah.
According to Dale Harvey's directory of the meaning of flowers, yarrow is a cure for heartache and sorrow and a cure that brings health and healing. Yarrow too has long been a symbol of love, especially lasting love. And this, they reckon, is because it takes 2 or more years for it to become established when propagated from seed. But once she does so, she's a strong and lasting perennial who can endure conditions and neglect that would wither many other plants.
Oh, funny.
So there you go. And it's true, I do nothing with my yarrow, and every year she comes back stronger. It's great.
So your faithful wife.
Yeah, she is.
Strong and
very
tough.
Very much so. Puts up with me, puts up with the chickens. No worries.
So husbands.
Well, yeah, puts up with his lawn mower. Yes, that's right. Others have gone, I'm dead, that's it. Yeah. Never coming back again. Yeah. But the yarrow, really worthwhile having.
Mm.
Yeah. And I didn't realise that animals ate it, like stock.
Oh, do they? Okay.
Well, that's what it was apparently introduced to New Zealand for, was for
It's got so
eating.
Many different colours, though, like yellow, white, pink.
Yeah. Subtle colours.
Yeah.
Light purple.
Bees love it.
Yep.
paint flower.
So I really wanted to put that one in.
Mm.
So, yeah. So that's me. Have we got time for anything?
Well, last week a listener said we missed out the Eve flowers.
Oh, that's right, yes.
So I had a rummage in my flower collection. Mm. And thought, what flower starts with E? So we have echinacea.
Yes, Selena.
So echinacea symbolises...
What does that symbolise?
Strength, good health...
Strength and health?
Yep. Or...
And healing?
And healing. It's actually used for immunity, like if you've got a cold or something.
Yeah.
It's a beautiful purpley flower, or it can come in other colours, but
when
mostly purple.
When does echinacea usually flower? Is it spring?
Usually spring or some... No, maybe a bit later.
Yeah, I think it's one of those ones that comes... Was it summer? Oh, we should. I can't believe we missed that one. Yeah, but it's one of those flowers. When I used to have it, I don't know if it's. I've got it in my garden now, but it would sort of the flower would pop out just at a time, maybe when I wasn't feeling great, or you know, I had a cold or something like that, and then it's beautiful purple flower, so pretty, would pop up, open up, and then I'd think, oh, and then you can dig up the roots and make yourself a little. Well, I was going to say tincture, a boil up.
Yeah.
Great. Or a tincture.
Yeah.
If you wanted to.
So maybe give that to someone who's unwell.
And the flower.
Mm.
Yeah.
Yes, and the flower.
Why not? Yeah,
why not?
Yeah, for sure.
Flowers
definitely.
Will cheer you up.
Yeah.
And I think just one more that we might have missed, because we always have it every time we have Plant of the Week, the little petunia song.
I have ever heard, the saddest is a story told me by a bird. You'd spend about an hour chatting with a flower, and here's the tale the flower told. Quote, I'm a lonely little petunia and a nun.
Oh, yes, of course.
So I looked that one up, and apparently it means anger or resentment. Or if you're losing hope, it's a soothing or comfort. To give to someone.
Oh, lovely.
So, yeah, petunia.
Maybe that's why in our petunia song, it's the little
lonely.
Petunia in the onion plot.
Yeah, the lonely little petunia and feeling angry.
Yeah, well, I mean, if it's supposed to be like the mule amongst the
yeah,
the bulls, what do we put normally put mules with? Yeah, usually.
The odd one out.
Or the big horses that are frisky. You put a mule in there, sort it out. It's like the mule of the flowers. It's true. That's what you do in gardening. They seem to have a way of sort of keeping the peace amongst the, the frisky ones. Yeah.
Okay.
So maybe all those angry sort of like, you know, bitter onions. And
just pop a petunia in there.
Calm down, guys.
Calm down, onions.
Yeah.
Stop crying.
Yeah. No, yeah. Nice touch, yeah.
Okay.
Good one.
So
since we didn't have time to play the song because we were chatting too much. But we did it.
Okay.
We got to the end.
That is all our A to Z.
And if you can think of
Z, yes, let
us
know.
An email. One worth mentioning.
Gardenplanetfm @gmail.com.
Awesome.
All right. Happy flower gardening, everyone. Now you know all the meanings of our flowers. You can,
A very informative segment.
Speak the language.
Yeah. Awesome. Very informative. Thanks for that, Selena. And myself, going to tap myself on the back too. Lots of study had. My brain's sore. Bye, guys.
Bye, everyone. Well, thanks for listening, everyone. That's all we have time for. Come back next week for more great gardening tips at Garden Planet. You can find us on Facebook on our Garden Planet Facebook page, or email us at gardenplanetfm@gmail.com if you want to ask us anything about gardening. Happy gardening, everyone, and we'll be back next week.